Good evening. Happy Easter. He is risen. Yes, we have good news to talk about tonight. We have good news to sing about. We have good news to share with one another tonight. We are so glad that you've chosen to spend your Easter Sunday evening with us here at Grace Downtown. And we want to continue to celebrate by opening up God's Word and taking a look at the resurrection of Jesus and what it means for our lives. But before we do that, we want to help you get connected here at Grace. And so a couple of ways we want to give you options to do that. The first one is to stick around after the service. We have some snacks afterwards, some dessert cups that we're going to have right up here on the table. So you can grab one of those, stick around. We would love to get to know you, love to meet you or family or friends that came with you tonight. Another way that we want to offer you tonight, and this is something that we don't normally have available, but for tonight we do, because we want to give people a very good action step, a concrete action step to respond to what God is doing in your life. And so you can do that if you have questions about today's sermon, if you have questions about following Jesus, or if you have questions about baptism. You can send a message, either email or text, to downtown@gracebthree.org, and just let us know how you'd like to be contacted and what you have questions about, and we will get in touch with you this week. We want to help you get connected. We want to answer questions that you have. And in 2 weeks, on May 5th, we are going to have a baptism service right after the service. We have some college students that would like to get baptized before they head out for the summer. And so anyone else that would like to get baptized is a great chance to do it after the service on May 5th. So if you're interested in that, please let us know by sending a message to downtown@gracebthree.org. So, this morning as we come into this, or this evening as we come into this Easter service, we find ourselves in a number of different places. Easter is a fun day, but it can be a complicated day. It can be a time where if we go to church regularly, it's an exciting Sunday. There's a buzz in the air. We all dress up. Well, some of us dress up a little bit nicer than normal. But we're still pretty casual here downtown, as you can see. But it can be a complicated day, too, because it can be a day where you go to a church you're not used to, or maybe it's going to church that you're not used to doing, and so it can be an interesting day. And so we find ourselves in different places here this evening. And not only that, but we've had different kinds of years. We're now almost 4 full months into the year of 2019, and we've all had different kinds of years. We've all had different kinds of months. And there's different things that we're thinking about as we go in to this Easter service. So a few places that you might find yourself here this evening. I want to illustrate it by these different pots that we have up here. Maybe you're like this first pot. And in it, you really just see soil. You really may just see hard ground, depending on how much water there's been this year. You see some mulch and leaves and all kinds of stuff in here, but you don't really see much sign of definitive life. Maybe that's you as you look back at this year so far. Maybe as you look back at the last 12 months, or maybe as you start to think about things on a spiritual plane. Maybe that's how you see life going right now. Where when you look at your life spiritually or relationally or emotionally or just the circumstances you find yourself in, you look at your life and you see a lot of death maybe, unmet expectations or just uncertainty. You're not sure what's below the surface. You're not sure what's going to sprout up. So maybe that's where you find yourself here this morning or this evening. Or maybe you find yourself like this, just a little bud coming up. There's a lot of this right now. In spring, you see this all over the yard, all over in the different flower beds and places that you didn't even know things were growing. You're like, oh, there's things growing there this spring. But you just see a little bud. You're not even really sure what color it's going to be. You're not sure how it's going to turn out. But you just see a little bit of sign of life. Maybe that's where you find yourself tonight. Maybe that's where you find yourself in 2019. Maybe you see just signs of life. Little buds of hope, little moments of breakthrough. Maybe for you, like me, just the weather changing to warmer weather brought a little bit more life, a little bit more hope. But as you see that little bit of life come up, just like here in Iowa, there's a little fear in the back of your mind, it could still freeze. Even April 21st, we're not out of the woods yet. Today is hopeful, 83 degrees, but maybe you're just not quite sure that the growth, that the fruit is going to last. Or you look at a world like Pastor Steve talked to us about earlier, a world that is not quite right, a world where even on Easter Sunday, there is death and decay and suffering in the world. It seems like every year we wake up Easter morning to hear about a church that's been bombed in a foreign country. This morning, Sri Lanka, 200 people dead from a church being bombed. So you may see signs of life in your life. You may see signs of life in this world, but sin, suffering, death, decay are also right around the corner. Or maybe you're fortunate enough to be like this lily right here that's sprouting, that's growing, that's producing something, that's realizing its potential, that looks the way that it's supposed to look. Maybe you're sitting here and you're like, you know what? Things are good. I never dreamed life would be so good. I've got everything I've ever wanted. Maybe that's you here this morning. As we think about where we are here this morning, we're confronted with the fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Luke 24. If you don't have a Bible with you, whether hard copy or phone, we have some Bibles for you on the windowsills. Take just a moment. Go ahead and hop up and grab one of those. Luke chapter 24, it's about two-thirds away the way through your Bible, Luke 24. This is the passage that Rebecca just read for us. It's the account of the resurrected Jesus. It says Jesus himself stood among them. What that means is in body, his real body. It wasn't a projection. It wasn't a hologram like Obi-Wan Kenobi appearing to help Luke Skywalker. It's really Jesus. It's Jesus himself in the flesh standing among his disciples. Standing among them. So let's take a look at what happens. Luke 24, verse 36. This is the part that Rebecca just read for us through verse 40. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened, and they thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. We see Jesus here in his resurrected body appearing before the disciples, and they're startled. They think they've seen a spirit. They don't know what to make of the fact that Jesus stands among them. Even though he had said that he would rise again, they saw him put in the tomb. They saw his body die. They saw the stone rolled in front of the tomb. And then 3 days later, he is standing among them, and he is amazed. Something that we notice here is that Jesus is not offended or afraid of our fear or our lack of faith. His very disciples, the ones that should have known, if anyone knew he was going to rise from the dead, they should have known. They heard him say it time and time and time again. He gave them illustrations of it. He told them it was going to happen. They should have known, but they didn't. And what does he do? He comes and he stands among them and he doesn't chastise them. He says, "Don't be afraid." He says, "Peace to you." That's the first thing he says, "Peace to you." They had not experienced peace in many days. Over the last week, they had seen their rabbi, their teacher, their best friend be betrayed by one of their friends, Judas. They had seen him arrested. They had seen him beaten to the point where he was not recognizable as a human. They saw him die on a cross. They saw him put in a tomb with a heavy stone rolled in front of it. They had not experienced peace in many days. And he comes to them and he says, "Peace to you." And then the next thing he says is, "You doubt that I'm real? Come. Come and touch. Come and see. Come and see the wounds. Come and see the scars in my wrists, in my feet. See that I really am Jesus." Jesus invites us to come. Jesus invites us to come and see and touch. And he's not offended by our lack of faith. If you take a look up here at there's not a bridge on the screen. You're going to have to picture it in your mind. It's okay, ready? So picture a bridge. If you're going on a trail and you don't see what's up ahead, and you come up on a bridge, and you know you have to cross this bridge to get across. It's a thick forest. You can't get to the other side unless you cross this bridge. But when you take a look at the bridge is scary. Have you seen one of these bridges? Like a swinging bridge? Like when you take a step, the whole thing goes like this, and the whole thing kind of creaks and cracks? Like, oh my goodness. So you come up on this bridge, and you're deciding, am I going to take a step? I know I've got to go across if I want to get to the other side. Should I turn back? Is this the best way to go? Am I really going to step on this bridge that I see in front of me? I don't know if I can trust it. In that moment, you have to have faith that the bridge is going to hold you. And see, it does not matter the size of your faith in that moment. Two things matter in that moment: the integrity of the bridge, and if you actually step out onto it. Those are the two determining factors of what's going to happen. Not how little or how much faith you have. You may have all the faith in the world and say, but I'm not going to do that, and turn around and walk the other way. Or you may have a little bit of faith, but trust in the integrity of that bridge and take that step. And that is the determining factor of what happens next. Jesus invites us in the same way to come and see, come and trust and obey, come and step out in faith. That's what he's asking his disciples to do. So we must ask the question, can we trust Jesus? Can we trust Jesus? Why can we trust Jesus? Why should we trust Jesus? We can use our lives for anything. I agree with the author Jared Wilson, who says that Christianity makes a terrible hobby. Like, if we're just doing this to have a hobby, we might as well be out with the kids looking for Easter eggs right now. But can we trust Jesus? Can we really give our lives to him? Can we really give our lives to the mission and the purposes that he calls us to? So there's three reasons that we can trust in Jesus this evening. We can trust in Jesus because he lived for us. He lived for us. Before we talk about his resurrection, we have to talk about his death. And before we talk about his death, we have to talk about his life. He lived for us. He taught about the kingdom of God. He came to show who God is. It's what mankind has been wondering for history. What is God like? And every people and every civilization throughout history has been building religious systems to try to get to know who God is. We want to know, what is God like? And then we read in 2 Corinthians that Jesus is the face of God. He comes and he shows us the very face of God, who God is, what he is like. Jesus comes and he shows and he tells us that. If you want to hear more about that, man, the slides are not working right this morning. There's a beautiful slide about our next series called The Kingdom Parables. You're just going to have to take my word for it. Next week, we are starting a series that will take us through the summer on the kingdom parables of Jesus. All the parables where Jesus taught and said, the kingdom of God is like. We're going to be going through that series because we want to know what the kingdom of God is like. We want to know what the kingdom of God looks like when it comes into our hearts and our lives. We want to know what the kingdom of God looks like when it comes into our job, into our families, into our living rooms, into our dorm rooms. We want to know what the kingdom of God looks like as it comes into our school, what it looks like when it comes into the University of Iowa and Iowa City and Iowa and America and to the ends of the earth. We want to know what the kingdom of God looks like, and we want to order our lives appropriately. So we're going to be doing this whole series on the kingdom parables, what the kingdom of God is like. So we can trust Jesus because he lived for us. Secondly, we can trust in Jesus because he died for you. Because he died for you. We just finished our series in the book of Ecclesiastes, and it ends with saying that we will stand before a judge one day. At the end of our lives, we will stand before a judge and we will give account for the life that we have lived and the deeds that we have done, both good and evil. And that judge is God, the creator that made everything, that designed everything, the one who gives us breath and life and everything else. He is that judge that we will stand before and we will give account for the good and evil that we have done. And this creates a problem because none of us, myself included, everyone sitting in this room, all humanity, cannot stand before a holy God and talk about how great they are. Even our deeds that we think are righteous, even our deeds that we think are good and spiritual and what Jesus wants to do compared to a holy God fall very, very short. So no matter who we are or what we've done or how many times we've gone to church, we stand before a holy God and we have to give account. And when we give account, our account of our life is going to fall short. It's going to fall short of the glory and the holiness of God. We will stand before that judge and we will have nothing to say for ourselves. And in that moment, we deserve justice for our actions from a holy God. As we stand before this holy God, we either owe him our very lives or someone else has to give their life on our behalf. We deserve the condemnation that our sin has earned us. But what we just sang about this morning and what Scripture tells us and what Jesus accomplished through his life, death, burial, and resurrection is instead of that condemnation against our sin, we receive grace. We receive pardon. We receive clemency for our sins. We receive the gift of life that we do not deserve because Jesus takes our place. He died for us. Romans 8, verse 3 says, what the law could not do, God accomplished by sending Jesus to live and to die for us and condemned our sin in Jesus. Even though Jesus is perfect, even though Jesus never sinned, God condemns sin that we deserve, that condemnation we deserve. He pours out that condemnation against sin on Jesus. So Jesus dies for us. And lastly, we can trust Jesus because he rose again. Jesus rose from the grave. Every other religious leader has died. And people visit their tomb. And it's become a place where you go and you worship to remember what that religious leader has taught and the things that they have done and the religion that they have established. We don't know where Jesus' tomb exactly is because it's empty. There's no one there. He rose again. We can trust Jesus because Jesus was God. His resurrection shows us that he wasn't just a good man. He wasn't just a moral teacher. He wasn't just a religious leader. He was God in the flesh. And his resurrection shows us that we can trust him. So we're going to conclude our time by taking a look at what the resurrection does for us day in and day out. First, the resurrection gives us hope. The resurrection gives us hope. Hope even where there seems to be no hope. Hope when there's only a little bud of fruit and life in our lives. The resurrection can bring hope. Because the worst thing, the greatest injustice that has ever taken place is Jesus, the one who was holy, the one who was God, the one who somehow created all things. We're told in three different places in Scripture that Jesus, all things were created through Jesus. I don't have any idea what that actually means, but it's true. Jesus was a part of creation. The very one who created us steps down into creation, gives his life for us, suffers the worst injustice, the worst kind of death on our behalf. And on Friday, the worst injustice that mankind has ever seen takes place. But then on Sunday, He rose from the grave. So on Friday, there is death, but on Sunday, there is life. On Friday, in our place of sin, we say, look at what I've done. In our guilt, in our shame, we say, look at what I've done. I didn't know I was capable of such a thing. Look what I've done. And then Jesus on Sunday says, no, look what I've done for you. On Friday, there is death. On Sunday, there is life. On Friday, there's the tears of the beloved that love Jesus, his mother, his friends, his brothers, those that followed him, cry and weep as they see him die before him. And on Sunday, they shed tears. Those same people shed tears as they touch his nail-pierced hands, as they touch the scars on his resurrected body. The prophecy from Genesis was fulfilled. Satan did indeed bruise the heel of Jesus, but it was only as Jesus was crushing the head of the serpent. That's what takes place on the cross, and the resurrection of Jesus shows that Jesus was God. We can have hope because of the resurrection. This is last week when the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris burned. Much of the building was burnt, over 800-year-old building. And as it took place, onlookers came around, and yes, you can see obviously they took pictures and got it all on film, of course. But as they were standing there, they were singing Ave Maria, bringing life and beauty and worship to a tragedy. The resurrection brings hope. The resurrection brings life. The resurrection brings faith when it makes no sense. The resurrection gives us help amongst our doubts. He meets us where we are. It gives us help amongst our doubts, even while we are doubting, even while we are struggling, even while we are suffering. The resurrection reminds us that there is more than what we see with our eyes. The resurrection of Jesus, the fact of the resurrection of Jesus, gives us hope when we feel like we are losing faith. When we feel like the doubts are too great, when the doubts are going to overcome and steal away our joy, steal away our faith. When the doubts come in, the resurrection reminds us that God is at work. Other religions say, try and reach God. The God of the Bible comes down to us. He steps down into the muck and the mire with us. The resurrection of Jesus gives us help amongst our doubts. And lastly, the resurrection gives us power. The resurrection gives us power. Because here's the thing. We may look at our lives and see that, you know what, things are going well for me. Things are where they need to be. There's fruit in my life, or there's meaning in my life, or there's comfort, or there's the things that I wanted. I could never have asked for such a great life when I stop and think about it. Maybe this is us. But here's the thing. The circumstances of life come along, and where there appears to be fruit and hope, the sin that we find in this world, the sin done against us, comes and takes that fruit away. Circumstances out of our control come along and take our feet right out from under us. The sin that we find in our own life comes and just steals that joy, that fruit, that life right away. The suffering and sorrow that we see in this world just comes and snatches away the good things that we see in our lives. But wait, there's more. It's actually worse than that. Maybe some of you look at your life and you see this. You see soil, but you're not sure if anything's going to come up. But some of you may feel like it's even worse. That there's a cement block keeping any growth from happening. that a holy God can never love you. He can't possibly forgive the things that you have done. Or maybe I've suffered too greatly. I can't even imagine joy in my life. Or maybe it's a faith or an intellectual hurdle. I could never believe that. I could never understand it all. I'm confused when I read the Bible. I'm confused by the things that you're saying. Christians confuse me. Easter confuses me. I'm here because my mom told me I'm coming. Maybe you feel like there is something keeping faith and growth and life from taking place. The resurrection of Jesus brings power and hope and a way where there seems to be no way. Because the God that can come back to life, the God that can move mountains, can forgive any sin. Because it's not based on you. It's not based on your performance. It's not based on my goodness or your goodness or how many times we pray or if we can figure it all out or how sincerely we sing or the size of our faith. Because he condemned our sin in Jesus' flesh instead of ours. So there can be hope, there can be power, there can be resurrection where there seems to be no way. The stone was rolled away. Behold, an empty tomb. It defies all common sense. That is the God that can do a work in our life. The Bible describes our state before this supernatural power of God comes into our life. It describes us as spiritually dead, our spiritual efforts as futile, that we are enemies of God. But the resurrection of Jesus is a verifiable fact. And that resurrection brings a supernatural power that unmasks, unveils our eyes so we see the beauty of what Christ has done for us. If you are already in Christ and you are a Jesus follower, if you've had that supernatural act take place where you have seen your need for Christ and you are following him, you still need that supernatural resurrection power a part of your life each day. And I know this because I need it every single day. I have needed it so much in the last few months. Just that hope and that resurrection power that doesn't come from my feelings or my circumstances, but comes from the power of the resurrection. Nicholas Kristof is a very good journalist. He writes for the Washington Post, I believe, and he has great articles about faith. He is a man that grew up Catholic himself, but somewhere along the way said, I appreciate Jesus, but I just can't believe all this stuff. And at Christmas and at Easter, he writes an interview that he posts online, and I always catch it because it's just a great interview. He interviews someone of faith. Someone that is in religious academia or a pastor. He has interviewed Tim Keller. He has interviewed cardinals for the Catholic Church. And this Easter, yesterday, he released his interview. He asks all his questions of faith, all the things he has doubts about. He asks those of these faith leaders. And this year, he interviewed the president of Union Seminary, which is a non-denominational seminary in New York. And this Union Seminary president stated in the interview that the resurrection of Jesus is a metaphor for love, that there is no virgin birth, and there is no substitutionary atonement. And that the cross just teaches us what happens when people in power treat other people unjustly. That's it. No God sending his son to die for our sins, no physical resurrection of Jesus, no virgin birth. And she said, all of that doesn't even matter. It just gets in the way. I beg to differ. And so does the Bible. In Corinthians, Paul says, if Jesus is still in the grave, you're wasting your time. Not just being here on Easter and putting a fancy Easter dress on, but with this whole Jesus thing. Because if Jesus is still in the grave, he's just another good teacher, that we should read his books, but then move on to the next guy. But if Jesus really rose from the grave, it changes everything. It changes everything about history. It changes everything about Christianity. It changes everything about every other religion and belief system. But most poignantly, it should change everything about your life today and my life today. We are told in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, that the same power that rose Jesus from the grave is right now giving power to this mortal body, the body that you are in right now. I went mountain biking yesterday, and my body feels mortal. Very mortal. And the older you get, the more mortal it will start feeling. And you'll start remembering, oh yeah, that's an injury from way back when, and it's starting to hurt again. This body, the body I'm in right now, the body you are in right now, if you are in Christ, then the Spirit of the living God lives inside of you. The same Spirit that brought Jesus back to life and rolled away that stone, the same Spirit that inspired the words of Scripture lives inside of you and is bringing life to your body right now. Not in some metaphorical or super spiritual sense. It's bringing you spiritual life and energy and joy right now. And when we remember that, we produce and experience the fruit of the Spirit of the living God, his love, his joy, his peace, his patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, the things that you need come from the Spirit of the living God. Look with me at Luke 24, verse 45 through 49. Just a continuation of the passage that we read earlier. Luke 24, 45 through 49. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." That power from on high is the Holy Spirit that comes and indwells the followers of Jesus. He says, "My Spirit, the power of God, will clothe you from on high, and it will change your life. It will change your mission. It will change the purpose and meaning of your life. It will send you out to be my witnesses, first right where you are, and then to the very ends of the earth." He said in John 14 that he would not leave his disciples as orphans, but the Father would send the Spirit to help them. And he did send that Spirit. And his presence is always with us. And we have been clothed with that power that is on high. We have been given what the prophets foretold. We have been given what the psalmists long for. We have been given the good news that the angels longed to hear. And we have been given the power of the living God to accomplish what he has called us to do today. If you are in Christ, no matter what state you find yourself in here this evening, no matter what emotions, no matter what circumstances, no matter what your week has been like, your day has been like, your year has been like, the Spirit of the living God wants to do a work in you and through you. Author Margaret Feinberg says, "Easter weekend reminds us that no matter how dark it may be, we can remain suspicious that God is up to something good. We can remain suspicious that God is up to something good. No matter where you find yourself, the resurrection of Jesus brings you a power, brings you a faith, brings you a calling on your life that makes you suspicious of any darkness, suspicious of anything you see around you, that God is just around the corner. as we continue on through our spring and summer as a church, as we continue into this or jump into this Kingdom Parables series, our hope is that we would see what it looks like when God's kingdom comes and his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. That we would be a people that knows what it looks like when the Spirit of the living God indwells his people and his people give their lives fully to him. We want to see what that looks like. We want to see what that looks like as a church. We want to see what that looks like in our community groups, in the larger Iowa City community, in our living rooms. We want to see what that resurrection power looks like among God's church. But it's only possible through the resurrection of Jesus. There's no slogan, there's no campaign, there's no program that will accomplish it. It's through the Spirit of the living God. Would you stand with me this morning, this evening? We're going to continue to behold our God. We are going to behold our God together because he is the one that is worthy of our praise. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to behold who you are, worship you because of who you are and what you have done. Father, I pray that you would move in power here, even in these last few moments. God, I pray that you would speak to each one here. God, help us to trust what you say, not just in our words, but in our actions. God, we pray that we would step out in faith, not because of the size of our faith, but because we see what you have done. We see the love you have for us. We see your resurrection power. And we see that we can step out. We can trust you. We can follow you with all that we are. God, I pray for those that feel like that big cement block is just laying over the top of any fruit in their life, anything good, spiritually or otherwise, taking place. God, would they experience your resurrection power here tonight? Would you unveil their eyes so they would see you? Would you give peace and comfort to their hearts? Would you bring the shalom that Jesus offered his disciples in that moment when he appeared to them? God, would you give wisdom where wisdom is needed? Would you give strength and fortitude where it's needed? Would you give perseverance where there is long suffering? God, would you do your work among us that we would be a people that is committed to you, committed to seeing your kingdom come? And it's all because of who you are, God. We behold, we want to stop in this moment and look to you and sing about what you have done.